Chapter 1. The Workhouse. Once, in a workhouse, there was born a boy named Oliver Twist. His mother died shortly after his birth. When the doctor asked who the mother was, the nurse replied that she had been found in the street and that no one knew where she was from nor where she was headed. The doctor shook his head, said goodbye, and left. Oliver cried loudly, but had he known he was now an orphan, left to the care of the workhouse, he would have cried louder. For the next 10 years, Oliver was raised in the workhouse among the other orphaned children. There he was taught how to pick and weave rope to earn a living and fed a steady diet of thin gruel 3 times a day. Each boy received 1 bowl of gruel for each meal and no more, except on holidays, when they were given 2 bowls and some bread. And this caused Oliver and the other boys to grow into pale, thin children who looked as if they could devour the very bricks of the workhouse just to quiet their hunger. Then, one day, the boys decided they couldn't take it anymore. The boys all gathered together. They decided someone should ask Mr. Bumble, the master of the workhouse, for more gruel, just to see what would happen. The boys all voted on who would do it, and it was Oliver Twist who was given the job. So Oliver rose from the large table the boys ate at and walked down the long stone hall of the workhouse. The other boys watched, whispering, as Oliver approached Mr. Bumble, who was standing next to his giant pot of gruel. Oliver clutched his bowl and spoon tightly and said, "Please, sir, I want some more." Mr. Bumble's face turned pale. He gazed in astonishment at Oliver for a few seconds, and then the man fell against the pot.
"What?"
asked Mr. Bumble in an unbelieving voice. "Please, sir," repeated Oliver, "I want some more." Mr. Bumble quickly struck Oliver's head. He then shouted for his assistants to take the child away. Mr. Bumble ran to the workhouse's board of directors. "Mr. Limpkins, Oliver Twist has asked for more." The board was greatly shocked. Horror showed on all of their faces.
"More?"
asked Mr. Limpkins.
"You're saying he wanted more, after the usual amount?"
"He did, sir," replied Bumble.
"That boy will be hung," declared Mr. Limpkins. "I know that boy will be hung."
The board quickly began discussing what was to be done with Oliver. The city paid the board good money to take care of the children. Some of the money went to the gruel, the rest went to the board. They couldn't just start spending more money on more food, the very idea. It was decided that Oliver was to spend the rest of the week locked in his room with nothing to eat. On the first night of this punishment, Oliver fell to his knees and cried. By the third night, his stomach was tearing at his sides, desperate for anything, even the gruel. On the fifth night, he lay on the floor motionless, and he stayed like that for a long time, just staring out his window at the night sky and empty streets. Then, with the only candle in his room burning low, Oliver rose to his feet, looked around him, and unlocked the window. Oliver crawled out of the workhouse. It was a cold, dark night, and his stomach still remained empty. The stars seemed farther away than Oliver had ever seen them before, and there was no wind, making everything warm. Oliver took one last look around the workhouse, one final moment of hesitation, and softly closed the window behind him. Oliver walked to the gate and started climbing it. He slipped and fell the first few tries. His muscles were sore and weak after being locked in that room for so long. He looked back at his room, wondering if perhaps he was better off going back inside and accepting his punishment. But then he remembered the way Mr. Bumble and the board had treated him, and the way the other children of the workhouse had abandoned him when he needed them most, and a fire burned deep inside his chest, a fire so strong that it destroyed his hunger and tiredness. Oliver grabbed the bars of the workhouse gate and forced himself over it, jumping down to the other side. The landing hurt his feet quite a bit, so Oliver sat down to rest them and wondered what he was supposed to do now. He looked to the right, then to the left, uncertain which direction to run in. The sun rose and, as the first few rays fell upon the various paths of the town, he remembered watching wagons leave the city by taking the road on his left. Oliver stood up, found the road, and walked quietly along it, leaving behind the place where he had spent his life up until that point. All things considered, he was quite happy with the decision. Oliver walked 20 miles that day, tasting nothing but the crust of the dry bread and water he had gotten by begging at the houses he passed on the road. When night came, he walked into a meadow and lay there until morning. He was frightened at first, afraid that Mr. Bumble would come after him, and the empty field and cold wind made him feel more alone than he had ever felt before, even at the workhouse. The long walk had made him tired. However, he soon fell asleep and forgot all his troubles. He felt cold and stiff the next morning and very hungry. He walked 12 miles before night came again. His feet were sore and his legs were so weak that they trembled beneath him. Another night passed, and when he started his journey the next day, he could barely move. It was 8 o'clock, and, exhausted and still afraid, Oliver lay down by the side of the road on top of a large stone. For the first time, he started to think about where he should go and where he should live, and he found that he couldn't think of anything. Oliver rolled over to get comfortable and saw that there was something written on the stone. This is what it said: London, 70 miles. The name awakened a new train of thought in Oliver's mind. London, that great place. Nobody, not even Mr. Bumble, could ever find him there. It was the very place for a homeless boy like him. As these thoughts passed through his head, Oliver jumped to his feet and started his journey once more.